to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
President Biden isn't the first Roman Catholic president, obviously, but he is the first Roman Catholic president to face a political and social situation where the decisions that he makes on a regular basis draw some tension, well, more than just some tension, a lot of tension between what he says he believes as a Roman Catholic and what he believes as the president of the United States and what he's doing as president of the United States. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about an open letter to President Biden on the Equality Act. Mary Eberstadt is our guest. She is senior fellow at the Faith and Reason Institute, author of several books, including her latest Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics, and a recent column for Newsweek titled, Mr. President, the Equality Act Defies Your Church's Teaching. Mary, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You have written three open letters to President Biden published in Newsweek since the first of the year. Why?
Well, it's an unusual thing to do, but it's because we are in an unusual situation with this president. We have had a Catholic president before. We have had Catholic governors and others who cling to the progressive side of things. But we have never had a leader with the discrepancy that this president presents between his avowals of his religious fidelity on the one hand and his policies on the other, which over and over again affront core tenets of the Catholic faith. So we're living with this contradiction that I think is puzzling a lot of people, Todd, and also really runs the risk of confusing people about what the Catholic Church stands for, whether they are people inside the Catholic Church or outside the Catholic Church. So I took to writing these open letters in the hopes of clarifying for people out there who might be confused just what the discrepancy is here between President Biden's words and President Biden's actions.
What then is the Equality Act?
Well, the Equality Act, ostensibly, as you can tell by the euphemism of its name, is supposed to level the playing field for people who have been marginalized specifically on account of sexual orientation or gender identity. And if I put it like that, it sounds like something any fair-minded person would get behind. But the reality is that this act would radically rewrite a lot of the way we are accustomed to living. It would eradicate the distinction between male and female in many ways. For example, it would mean that biological men are allowed in homeless shelters for biological women or prisons, etc. We're already seeing some of that. It would also have a terrible effect on female sports because it would mean that by identifying as female, we could have biological boys on girls' sports teams. And this, too, has already happened to the detriment of female athletes. So this is just some of the fallout that we would see if the Senate were to pass this act. But even that pales in comparison to the religious problem here, which is that this act thumbs its nose at the Bible. The Bible begins with this distinction about male and female, God created the world. And it would also just keep piling up the confusion out there about what Christianity in general stands for.
Mary, you say that the president's support for the Equality Act defies the bedrock principles of the Catholic Church. How so?
We are taught that there are men and women and that their relationship is complementary in a particularly beautiful and sacred way. And to say that that distinction doesn't exist is to defy the idea of marriage itself in the Christian conception. So that's just one way in which the Equality Act runs afoul of Catholic teaching, there are other ways. For example, one is never supposed to interfere with the vocation of another person. That's regarded as off limits, and there are items in canon law about it. But by forcing medical professionals to participate in various acts like abortion, which, by the way, is also much easier to get under the Equality Act, or like mutilating the organs of children and adolescents in order to make them transgender, the Equality Act would definitely impede the ability of other people to live out their vocations in harmony with their religion. So that's another really bold affront, I would say, that's embedded in this act. And the president has made clear, by the way, this is not just any act. This is something that's terribly important to him, and it demands to be unpacked for people to see.
Is Catholic teaching on abortion ambiguous or optional for Roman Catholics?
It is not optional, and there's nothing ambiguous about it, and there has not been for 2,000 years. One of the very first things that the early Christian communities did was place off limits certain practices that were common among the Romans. Abortion was one of those practices, so was infanticide. These were things that the early church said Christians must not do. So there has never been a situation where there's, quote, gray area about the question of abortion. It's never been the kind of question about which Catholics could wrestle and come out with totally different conclusions. It is one of those teachings that is just right there from the start.
The president continues to maintain that he is personally opposed to abortion. What do you make of this?
Well, he's standing in a tradition of certain politicians, of whom Mario Cuomo was the most famous when, as governor of New York, he declared that he was personally opposed to abortion, but that he would not force his religious beliefs on other people. Now, that kind of argument is pretty easily dispelled, it seems to me, because if my religion teaches that slavery is wrong, for example, which I believe it does, I would have no problem standing in the public square and saying slavery is wrong. But obviously, for political reasons, a number of Catholic politicians since Roe versus Wade have tried to split the difference there and say, well, I'm a Catholic in good standing because I oppose abortion, but I can't force that on other people. That's the tradition that President Biden is standing in. And again, I just don't think it holds up, Todd. In addition to not holding up, as I point out in the Newsweek article, there's also a papal encyclical from the 1800s that makes it very clear that people are not supposed to profess one thing in public and another thing in private. So again, we have this blatant collision with actual Catholic teaching.
We're talking with Mary Aberstadt about her Newsweek magazine column, Mr. President, the Equality Act Defies Your Church's Teaching. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Ad Crucem is a Christian greeting card, jewelry, art, gift, and housewares company with beautiful products for church and home. Learn more at adcrucem.com, ADCRUCEM.com. On the other side, what would the Equality Act do to Catholic institutions?
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that Lutherans are helping new American immigrants get settled? How about struggling church workers in need of support and refreshment? And we assist at-risk children and provide disaster response to hurricane victims. Through LCMS recognized service organizations, we are doing all this and more. I'm Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I don't want you to miss out on hearing what your brothers and sisters in Christ are up to. Visit interesttime.org to see how your support gives life to these works of mercy and love.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an open letter to President Biden on the Equality Act. Barry Eberstadt, the author of that letter, is our guest. She's senior fellow at the Faith and Reason Institute and author of several books, including her latest, Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics. Mary, what would the Equality Act do to Catholic institutions?
Well, just a few minutes before coming on, I got an email from someone who helps to preside over five Catholic schools, who's very worried about this act because, and for the same reason that a lot of other Catholic educators are and Christian educators generally, they're worried about the Equality Act because if it becomes law, then it will be easy to force by lawsuits unbelievers, anti-believers, haters of Christianity itself into the Christian school system, all in the name of equality. And this is not something anyone wants to see. It would also penalize the teaching of the Christian faith. The idea, again, that male and female, he created them, and that's just for starters. So educators are very nervous, and rightly so, about what this would do to our schools and other institutions.
When you hear President Biden credit his Catholic education for guiding him through life, how do you respond to that?
Well, again, I think that's a paradoxical thing to say, given what President Biden has come to stand for. So I went to the website of his prep school, which was a Catholic high school, and I saw its mission statement, and it stands for community and zeal and reverence and other good things. But my point is that his policies and the things he stands for are undermining Christians standing in the public square. It's treating Orthodox believers with opprobrium. It's making them into haters and bigots when they neither hate nor are bigoted. And so, again, we have this contradiction between what the president is saying and what his policies are actually doing. And to anyone who cares about the future of productive Christianity in this country, this is a real problem.
Do American bishops need to be more vocal with the president?
Well, as I say in one of the Newsweek pieces, Todd, I'm not a theologian, let alone a member of the Catholic hierarchy. And in a way, that's exactly my point. If somebody who's just a member of the laity can see very clearly the problems that this president is imposing on his fellow religious believers, then how much more clearly can the Catholic hierarchy see it and other people who have authority in these matters?
Some point out that the president is only one among many, many Catholics in the United States who share his viewpoints. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's true, and it's unfortunate that that's true. There is a deep division or a series of deep divisions within the Catholic Church. The same is true of other denominations, and all of these divisions share the same root. They all concern the sexual revolution. And the question is whether the churches can adapt to that revolution and embrace it, or whether they should stand in the tradition that they came in with from 2,000 years ago. So I think in every church, there are people who take sides over the sexual revolution. From where I stand, that revolution is the biggest problem facing Christianity today, because it's the root of what these arguments are about.
How do you respond to those who say that President Biden was elected to represent all Americans and to defend the Constitution, not to represent or promote the teachings of his church?
Well, of course he was elected to represent all Americans. He said at his very inaugural that he was going to work extra hard for the people who didn't vote for him. But in retrospect, it looks as if that was rhetoric and not something that he ever intended to do. In the second letter that I wrote in Newsweek addressing the president, I pointed out a number of instances of censorship and harassment of various Christian leaders that had happened since he was elected. And, you know, these range from suppression by big tech to harassment of faculty members at faithful Catholic and other schools, etc. And my point is that if he really means to speak for the people who didn't vote for him, and he really means it, that he's a Christian in the loving brotherly tradition, then why hasn't he taken note of what is happening to his fellow believers under his administration? So again, this is a contradiction that I think it's fair to draw attention to, because leaving it as it is runs the risk of confusing people out there about what the church represents and what dissidents within the church represents.
Finally, it is very unlikely that open letters to the president will cause him to change his policy direction with regard to these issues. Why continue to write them?
Well, one reason is that I like to think it's helpful for other people out there. You know, Todd, if you look at the latest numbers on religious affiliation, especially among young people, they're going down pretty quickly. And that is to say, a lot of people, increasing numbers of people in the United States, don't really know much about the Christian tradition, don't really know much about the churches, have not been schooled in any particular denomination. So in a way, I'm writing to those people to set the record straight and say, look, when you see a Catholic in high office or elsewhere saying that he's fine with expanding the number of abortions in America, you have to understand he's off the reservation of the creed that he professes. And so in a way, the audience I'm addressing is the audience out there that may not otherwise hear the truth about what the church teaches.
Mary Eberstadt is senior fellow at the Faith and Reason Institute, author of several books, including her latest, Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics, and a recent column for Newsweek titled, Mr. President, the Equality Act Defies Your Church's Teachings. You can read it and purchase Primal Screams at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Mary, thanks.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
We'll be talking about using the Apostles' Creed to defend and proclaim the Christian faith with Dr. Nancy Almodovar, author of the new book, Creedal Apologetics, in Hour 2. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with rebels, Samaria's calf reaping the whirlwind, exiled from the Lord's land, and days of visitation. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Criticism.
I just had to call in to respond to this week's installment of Never Trump Drivel from Terry Mattingly.
Compliments.
I love the interviews and insights because they help me battle the slings and arrows of outrageous theology in practice.
Clarification.
Is there a point where, without baptism, infants go to heaven, and after which time they go to hell if they're not baptized?
The Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.